Hello, everyone. It's your Like Mother, Like Murder hosts.
And we just wanted to remind you that our Mother's Day merch is up on our website at likemotherlikemurder.com.
So if you guys are still looking for that special something for all the moms in your life, head on over. We have some custom stuff designed by yours truly.
That's me. Get it, girl.
That's me,
That's
guys.
You. Yeah.
And Joel. Joel helped too.
That's true. Go, Joel.
By us truly. All right. Go check it out. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Hello, everyone. This episode is actually part two and is focused mainly on Angel Resendez, also known as the Railroad Killer. If you have not yet gone and listened to our survivor story on Holly Dunn, please go and do that first. Holly Dunn is the sole survivor of serial killer Angel Maturino Resendez, and although she went through such a traumatic and horrific attack, as well as witnessed the murder of her boyfriend right in front of her, Holly chooses every single day to be a voice and to be help and to advocate for those in need. We finished off Women's History Month talking about survivor Holly Dunn and chose to separate her attacker's story because although the details need to be told to understand everything fully and his other victims deserve to have their names said, he was disgusting, pathetic, and worthless, and we wanted to separate him from Holly as much as possible. Welcome to Like Mother, Like Murder. I am Rachel.
And I'm Heather.
We bring you the good,
the badass,
and the crime.
This is Like Mother, Like Murder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a bonus episode, part two of Holly Dunn, Survivor Story. This part is about her attacker, and so that is ultimately why we wanted to separate those two things. If you have not listened to that, please go back and listen to that first, because that is absolutely the most important part of this whole
100%.
Story. So mm-hmm. we want you guys to listen to that, but as I said in the intro, it is also very important for us to talk about this because Angel Resendez was a serial killer. He is right. The railroad killer. And so there are many, many more names that we need to talk about and we need to say out loud right here, right now. Okay? So let's jump into this. Are you ready? Hi, Heather.
Hi. Whew. I think I'm ready.
All right. So the first thing I want to say when starting this, you know, some people cover serial killers in podcast series and
right.
4-hour episodes. And right. So I just want to say, you know, offer a disclaimer, that's not happening here.
Right.
This is going to be a very overview style episode on the Railroad Killer. If you want or need more, I'm positive you can go and find that wherever. You can find a podcast who offers all of that, all of the details. I'm sure there's TV shows, episodes, whatever, for you guys to go find that. It's just not happening here. The main reason I even wanted to do this part is because Holly Dunn survived Angel Resendez, while mm-hmm. numerous other people did not.
Mm-hmm.
Many fell victim to this murderer, and it's such a sad and awful thing. Many of the victims were asleep in their homes, unaware entirely that someone of this magnitude, filled with hate, anger, whatever it was, this despicable person would be taking their lives. Angel Maturino Resendez was born August 1st, 1959. He was born in Puebla, Mexico. Actually, it was like a city of Puebla, Mexico. Mm-hmm. I can say that honestly, when I look into or I hear about serial killers, one of the first things that comes to my mind, other than the heartache of victims themselves, is why.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? If you haven't, you know, like actually if you have listened or looked into or studied or whatever it may be, serial killers in any capacity, one of the running themes or conversations is nature versus nurture. You can throw in abuse, you can throw in head trauma, you can throw in so many things that make you question, was this person born this way or was this monster created?
Right.
And in this moment, maybe this guy had a fucked up childhood. Maybe he had some stuff happen that you never wish upon a child or a teenager or hopefully anyone. But when it comes to him, we don't fucking care.
Yeah, because the God's honest truth is there are hundreds, if not thousands, of kids, unfortunately, that have been through similar circumstance, if not the exact same circumstance as him, and they are not fucking serial killers. So, you know.
Yep. So, yeah, I just love to say when we don't care about people. So... he first entered the U.S. illegally in 1973, and over the years, he had been deported back to Mexico at least four times. Resendez would take the train and then jump off or jump on as he would cross the border into the U.S., into Canada, and back into Mexico again, going back and forth over the years, okay? Now, he's suspected to be the murderer of 23 people.
Oh, my God.
Depending on what you read or hear, the actual number can range from 9 to 15 to 23. It's a huge gap when it comes to the people's lives being taken. But they don't have a concrete number.
Right.
But I am going to tell you about the ones that we do know. So, like I mentioned in the beginning... You can talk about all these people in great depth, and unfortunately, and I'm so sorry, that's not what's happening right here. We wanna say who it was, and we wanna put their names out there, and that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So his first two reported victims, they're actually unidentified. This was back in 1986. A man and a woman. He said that he had met at a homeless shelter. He shot. And he killed them. A 38 caliber, shot and killed them. No reason. He didn't have a reason. 1991, Michael White. He was 22 years old. And Resendez beat him to death with a brick as a hate crime against Michael because Michael was gay.
Oh, my fucking God.
May of 1997, Jesse Howell and Wendy Van Huben, he murdered them because he said they were anti-Christian.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like you're a real... stand up Christian, aren't ya?
Right. Well, to some people, they thought he was, so we'll get there.
God.
July of 1997, Roberto Castro was beaten to death with a piece of plywood. August of 1997, he attacked Christopher Meyer and his girlfriend Holly Dunn, which we've talked about. Resendez murdered Christopher, and Holly survived this brutal attack. October of 1998, he murdered Leafy Mason. And in December of 1998, he murdered Fanny Byers. Next was Claudia Benton, December of 1998, who was found murdered in her home. And then the couple, Norman and Karen Siernick, also found murdered in their home. And I did mention them in part one briefly, you know, in that episode, because it was after these two murders, well, three murders, but the two different homes, that they were able to get a DNA match, right?
Right.
And then on top of the DNA match, the knowledge of being next to the train tracks, they were able to send over the picture of Resendez, the detective Correll, and that's when they found out, you know, that it was indeed the same guy who attacked Holly and murdered Chris. So they knew who it was at this point. Okay. But they don't have him. So the murders continue. His next victim was Naomi Dominguez in Texas, June of 1999. And the very next day, so now it's going quicker, was right. Josephine Konvicka. June 1999, he shot George Morber Sr. And then he went down to George's daughter, Caroline Frederick, and he bludgeoned her to death with the same gun that he shot George with. All of them. So, brutal. Gruesome.
Completely just violent. Violent. Like, just and ridiculous.
Many of them were... So, what he would do is he would break into these homes, for the most part, break into these homes and kill them while they were sleeping. Then he would hang out in the house. He would steal things. He would rummage through. He would eat, and then he would leave. That was his MO. That's what he was doing. Okay?
God.
Absolutely. Absolutely awful. Those are the names that have been admitted to and have been them being able to say yes. Because yeah. it's such
they've corroborated
sick,
that, like, he did that.
Yes. But it's also sick that other people,
yeah,
other murderers will yeah. say, no, I did that one. That was
ugh.
Me. Okay? So.
Disgusting.
Those are their names. We'll say them again before we end. But it was the fingerprints in Claudia Benton's murder that was the thing that was able to be used to tie Resendez to the numerous railroad killings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen. Angel Resendez is now on the most wanted list, right? They know who he is. They need to get to him. His mm-hmm. name and his face are going out in papers and going on TV mm-hmm. and everywhere. You want to know something crazy?
No.
You know, because we talk about this all the time. It's really sad how you can literally live your life and not know someone living right next to you or even in your home or even someone you are dating or even someone you marry is as crazy as they
are.
Oh,
my God.
But it's
God.
True because Angel Resendez was in a relationship with a girl named Julieta Reyes. And she knew nothing. She knew nothing. To others, he seemed normal. At a time, he was an English teacher at a school. He lived two lives. One where he was known as a good guy in the community, and another life where he murdered many people in awful ways.
Fucking psychopath.
Okay.
Absolute psychopath.
It's, you know, he would leave. Obviously.
Yeah.
These were not all in one area. Yeah. The states that I talked about, Illinois, Florida, Texas, wherever, you know, like they're yeah. all over the place.
Okay? Yeah.
Kentucky. They're all over the place. So, and they weren't together the entire time. So she wasn't there for the entire thing. But the point is she did talk about the fact that he would leave. And it was one of those things where he's going to do work. He's going to either work a farm or like do something
right
money wise in between whether it's his school job or something else.
Oh
no,
my gosh.
Guess what? That's not what he's doing. He's going to homes. He's breaking into these homes. He's murdering people and then he's stealing their vehicles. He's stealing their jewelry. He's stealing their things and coming home to you. That's what was happening.
Oh.
Absolutely awful. They end up talking to Julieta Reyes, and she just couldn't believe it. They put right. surveillance on her house, and she offered, you know, she pretty much was like, here. She gave them 100 pieces of jewelry.
Wow.
Even other items in the home.
That She's like, take it, find out.
Connected
wow, good
to
for
them.
You. Mm. Oh, my gosh. Mm. Good for you. Julieta, you said her name is?
Yep.
Good job.
It didn't matter because he had already fled. So he was gone. Okay. So off.
But at least she's giving some kind of like if there was a murder that they hadn't been able to link and then yeah. he ends up with a piece of that person's jewelry right. or their car, like it gives some piece of closure to somebody. Yeah. And so like and the fact that she was like, yeah, fuck it, take it. I don't like what's she gonna do with it? Like it's so good that she was like that, you know?
Hopefully it was all in a helpful way and not a,
yeah.
well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. But when it came down to it, want to know who turned him in?
Who? His mother.
His sister.
Yeah, that's right.
His sister. He had a reward on his head. That's for damn sure. And she didn't want anything. She didn't want to be tied to any of that. She didn't want none of it. And I don't know if she actually got the money. There's different articles, whatever. But one of them did say that she was paid $86,000 in reward money for arranging her brother's surrender. They organized a meetup or exchange, and Resendez believed he would be spared his life or whatever. I don't believe in making deals with murderers, so I don't know. But he was arrested in Texas in 1999. He went on trial in 2000. In court, the jury found him guilty, obviously, and he was sentenced to death by lethal injection, which in fact did take place. He was executed in Huntsville, Texas on June 27th, 2006 by lethal injection.
Good riddance.
I'm going to read his final statement for you because I felt like it was necessary. Okay? Okay.
And this is just going to piss me off.
Yeah. But then I'll read someone else's statement.
Okay.
Resendez said, "I want to ask if it is in your heart to forgive me. You don't have to. I know I allowed the devil to rule my life. I just ask you to forgive me and ask the Lord to forgive me for allowing the devil to deceive me. I thank God for having patience in me. I don't deserve to cause you pain. You do not deserve this. I deserve what I am getting."
Yeah, you do. So stop asking for forgiveness, motherfucker.
Yeah. He was pronounced dead at 8:05 on June 27th, 2006. Claudia Benton's husband, George, was present at the execution. And he said, he was evil contained in human form. A creature without a soul, no conscience, no sense of remorse, no regard for the sanctity of human life.
Dead on.
Dead on.
Dead on. I also would have been okay with a huge fuck you and then just mic drop.
Sorry. Hold on. Let me go back up. No regard for the sanctity of human life.
I would have been fine with a big just fuck you and a mic drop.
I just wanted you to like add it. Say it at the end. And a big fuck you. Okay. Before we end this episode. Okay. I want to say the victims' names one more time. Okay. Two unidentified individuals. We can't say their names, and that sucks.
Yeah.
But we're thinking about them. Michael White, Jesse Howell, Wendy Von Huben, Roberto Castro, Christopher Mayer, Leafy Mason, Fanny Byers, Claudia Benton, Norman and Karen Siernick, Naomi Dominguez, Josephine Convica, George Morber Sr., and Carolyn Frederick. Are those names, you know, that are known, and right, there possibly could be more.
Oh, there's 100% more. There's definitely more. There's definitely more.
Yeah. And this was here. And you know, it's said to believe that there's no way he just started this here. He said he did it here because he hated Americans. But other people are like, there's no way he just started here. That he had to have done it back in Mexico as well.
Everywhere he went. If he was going from Mexico to Canada, I guarantee you there's stuff happening in Canada too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So all of these lives were taken by the hands of Angel Matrino Resendez. He had 30 different aliases. They all don't matter. That's his name. Known as the Railroad Killer. Ending episodes after a conversation like this suck. So what I will say is live today for those who can't. Do what you can while you're here to make people happy and lift them up and be a hype queen. Also, trust your gut. Be aware of your surroundings. Lock your doors. Set up alarm systems. Share your locations. And go take a self-defense class. You just never know what you should know. What? You just never know what you should know. You just never know.
I mean, that's not wrong.
You just never know. But what you should know is that we love you guys. And you're out. And if you're out here doing your best, we support you. And we fucking adore you.
Yeah.
that's all we've got for you guys this week.
Rachel. Yes, dear. Oh my gosh. That was something else. So it's crazy because this is obviously an older case. I have heard about the Railroad Killer, and I knew a small amount. You know what I mean? A small amount. Thank you. About Holly. Yeah. But that is such an incredible. I mean, he's a piece of shit, obviously, but it's incredible that, you know, Holly, what she went through and how she, I mean, I said it in the last episode, like, she's just fucking amazing. But then also, you know, for, you said it was George Benton, for him to, right, the husband? For him to make a statement like that, fuck yeah, George. That's right. And the sister, even if you were getting paid, good. Y'all need to be okay turning in anybody if they're this motherfucker 100%. So, whew. That's a crazy one, Rachel. Yeah, for sure. But thank you for bringing it. I'm glad you were able to. Yeah, like you said, it's hard that there are so many names attributed to that. But I'm glad that you were able to recognize them. And for all those that, you know, unfortunately are unrecognized because we just may never know, you know, we're still, you know, still think about it. It's tough. Whew. Damn.
That's why I'm always like, I don't know how to end these because they just
make me sad. These ones suck. Like you said, I love the way you ended it. That's what we need to think about. We need to think about being there for others, doing what we can to protect ourselves and our families. And, you know, you don't know what you should know. So just go do all the knowing that you can.
Knowing and doing. What'd you say earlier?
Doing and knowing. That's what I said last time. I'm doing and I'm knowing.
I do and I know things.
I do and I know things. Okay. That's the permit. That's it. That's the ending.
We're done here. All right, you guys. Happy Tuesday. We will talk to you guys next time. Stay tuned for that bonus episode coming soon.
Bonus.
Okay.
Okay,
love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
It is solvable. It was solvable 2 weeks after it happened.
March 25th, 2004, Cross Plains, Tennessee. Their last day? Jennifer, just 21, stands in the kitchen of her boyfriend Joey Benton's family home, where she and her two-year-old daughter, Adriana Wicks, have been living. She has the only phone in the home in her hand and is on a call with her father. Jennifer expresses how the night before, she and her boyfriend's parents, Joe and Cindy Benton, had been involved in a very heated argument. In fact, it was so heated that Jennifer was still rattled from the night before. She moves the receiver down to talk to a muffled female voice coming from behind her. She then says goodbye to her father and hangs up the phone. And what happens next? Well, that's what we're here to find out, isn't it? Jennifer and Adriana Wicks have not been seen or heard from since March 25th, 2004. I am a true crime investigative podcaster living in the same town where the Wicks girls went missing. Hi, I'm Jules, and I've teamed up with Jennifer's sister, Casey Robinson, to ask some big questions from our little hushed town that we've been too afraid to ask each other over the last 20 years. Where are Jennifer and Adriana Wicks? Small towns talk, and guess what? We're listening. Missing in Hushtown is coming 2024, wherever you get your podcasts. The entire first season will drop in August. We'll see you then.